I'm Robin Amler of IBS Intelligence. You're listening to the IBS iViews podcast. With me is Jon Hordal, Group Chief Product Officer of eMerchant Pay. Let's take a very broad brush approach to begin with, Jon. 2024 trends shaping the payment industry. What are you seeing? What are you expecting?
The trends that we see overwhelming in the industry right now are those of simplification. The consumers want a simpler way to pay, and this the user experience needs to be simplified. We also see a big shift towards solutions like open banking, ability to use other solutions than just the card schemes. Within the card schemes, with the card scheme solutions, we see a big move towards simplification again, away from the 16 digits and entering all the details, etc., and using tokenizations or click-to-pay options, etc. And then we see, obviously, fraud and risks being still the key element to fight. And in that, we see solutions like AI coming into play, obviously already so on the provider side, but also on the fraudster side, on both sides of the equation. So I would see those are the biggest elements that I see happening over the next year. Simplifications on the user experience, coupled with increased options on the consumer side. They are also then coupled with technical improvements, such as tokenizations or click-to-pay solutions, in order to also fight the potential fraud, which is constantly an ongoing battle.
You talked about making things simpler for the consumer. There is a danger in doing that, that you make things simpler for the fraudsters as well, is there not?
Absolutely, there is. And it's a fine balance to track. If we don't simplify the user experience, we are limiting business. We are limiting opportunity of growth for both the merchant as well as the consumers. But if it is simplified too much or made in such a way that consumers don't understand what's actually happening underneath, there is a big risk of increased phishing attacks, increased exposure to fraudulent actors in the market. So that's why I was mentioning earlier that it is necessary that that's coupled with improved tools behind the scenes, increased use of multi-factor authentications for the merchants, increased use of AI in detecting fraud right at the front end of it, increased use of biometrics for consumers to protect themselves with using their own biometrics. So all of these things have to come in together. So we can take a clear case like open banking. Open banking is something that hasn't yet been spread throughout the market from a consumer perspective prevalently, but I believe it certainly will do so over the next couple of years. And many people will be concerned, can I pay directly with my bank just as securely as I can pay with a card? And if nothing is done, people will have that concern. And now people are concerned, now I'm not just giving potentially fraudsters access to my card, which I can block, but access to my bank account. You can protect your cards with the right biometrics, your bank applications. You can use the AI tools on merchant side and on the acquirer or payment service provider like our sites to protect it. And the consumers can set up biometrics to protect themselves on the front end. So if it all comes together, things are good, but it can also risk of diverging.
You mentioned the use of multi-factor authentication as something that merchants can use to protect themselves against payment fraud. What are the other things they should be doing or should be considering doing?
So there are numerous other things that they can and should be doing. Many of them can and are already using AI to monitor users' behavior and detect proactively if a user behavior suddenly changes quickly. The merchants can also help by putting in all kind of other fraud tools themselves or partner with payment service provider like ourselves to add in additional biometrics analysis, for example. Many service providers like ours can add additional detection tools that even go down to understanding exactly the user's environment, the mouse that he usually uses or anything down to those kind of levels that they can ask to if they are concerned about it. The merchants can also just constantly do a proactive monitoring of the customers to see if their accounts are being accessed from a different location, if their accounts are used in unusual ways or whatnot. So there are numerous aspects that the merchants can do both themselves as well as in connection with their payment service provider.
Some of the things you described there work to prevent fraud, but what you're also telling me, I think, is the quantity and quality of data that is being generated about customers. This is something that also has a role in personalization.
Absolutely. And I think it's going to be a growing role, both to help combat fraud, and like I was discussing in this case, but also absolutely to enable the merchants to start offering different service, a service differentiation, a more of a personalized experience. Well, one of the things that I'm quite excited about happening in the marketplace is where merchants, for example, can treat me as an individual consumer as the same entity, regardless if I walked into a store and paid with a card or went online and paid with my open banking solution or whatnot, however I interacted with them and in which what way. That can only be enabled with the right amount of data collection and the right amount of data sharing in this kind of environment, which obviously also then comes with some risks associated with it, the necessity to take good care of it. I sometimes use the example of I might have been online and bought a shirt at some high brand like Boss or something. And then when I come next into store and I'm buying shoes, as I'm checking out, the clerk can see and notice that after I put in my card, actually, do you know, Jon, that there is a new shirt that came in the same style that you bought last year? Do you want to take a look at it? It's a kind of experiences that can be enabled with the right user data collection. And if it is used the right way, can add so much extra value to me as a consumer that I'm very okay with that kind of data collection. If I'm also assured that the data security is the right one. But again, as we mentioned earlier, there is a fine balance here.
One of the things that I think is a little secret of the financial services sector is a lot of that kind of data was already being generated. It's just that nobody was actually using it. Nobody was actually processing it to get conclusions out of it.
Absolutely. And it comes also as a part of the market that is quite fragmented. The offline payments, meaning payments that are done by cards in-store or in person, versus the payments that are done online or in those systems, they are often processed by completely separated systems. So it wasn't trivial for people to connect all the dots together, even if the full data was being collected, like you said. And not everybody necessarily shared that they were storing such data, which is a concern. But what the trend that I'm seeing is that usually a lot of this data was being held more by the payment service provider, like whether it's addresses or card numbers or card fields or like purchase IDs or whatnot. But with improvements in systems as they're happening now, more and more of this data can be owned and controlled and managed by the merchant and put the consumer full in control of exactly what data is available for him in their loyalty systems, in their customer repositories, etc. And again, it varies different between users, but me as a consumer myself, I am very concerned about my privacy. I'm very careful about what data I share with others. But I'm also fully aware that with the right amount of data sharing, my user experiences can be greatly enhanced. And so I'm willing to have quite a lot of that shared if I'm also assured that it's correctly taken care of and I'm in control of it myself.
I take your point, but I'll go back to what I was saying, that a lot of this data was already there. It's already in the hands of financial institutions. They just haven't been doing anything with it.
It's been stuck in legacy systems or unable to actually process, unable to take advantage of it or value of it. And like you also correctly stated, sometimes the consumers aren't necessarily fully aware that such data is being collected. But a lot of the regulatory environments are now changing to try to put more and more of that control into the hands of the consumers. But a lot of the developments, if you look at open banking, for example, it's a way where the regulatory environment has come in and forced a standardization of providing access to this. So you unlock the power of that data and allow the consumers to share that with other companies, newer, faster developing technical service providers, who can now take that data and provide advantages to the consumer, advantages to the merchants who will now get access to this data. So I fully agree with you. I think this data has been, not all of it, but much of it has been stored and not made good use of so far. It has been made use of in terms of, to some extent, fraud prevention and those kind of things, but in a very limited way, not to help personalization, not to help improving the user experiences to large extent.
But this is something that is now coming forward, because we do at last, in the last few years, we have systems that can process this data, that can bring it together, derive conclusions from it, that will help the experience of the consumer.
I'm absolutely convinced of that. And the kind of example that I gave earlier about being treated the same consumer, whether I'm paying with my wallet or the card at the store or buying online, feeling that I'm being treated as the same entity is just one small example of it. But there could be numerous other such cases. Putting you, for example, in the better control of your actual spend analysis. In the past, that was relatively easy to do for individual bank who did one of your payments. But now that your payments, you use all kind of different payments. You pay something in a wallet, you pay something on one card and something on a different card. Being able to collect all of that data together by some service provider and provide extra values or improvements to your consumer behavior is a lot. And we see the same happening also even with individual payment methods. I have my credit card. Sometimes I use the same credit card online, putting in the numbers. Sometimes I pay with it in-store by putting it in a terminal. And sometimes I've tokenized it in my wallet and pay with it that way. It's all the same underlying card that the transaction goes through, but three different ways that the card is being collected or processed through the various systems. So it is hard to have this all talk to each other. But now with the right data, and actually AI is a big part of that, allowing to actually process such huge amount of data sets to derive the right results out of it.
And that's something we can look forward to over the course of the months and years to come. Jon Hordal, Group Chief Product Officer of eMerchant Pay, thank you very much.